Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Megillah. We find ourselves at the bottom of Chaf Bet Amud Aleph, that's 22a. This series of recordings is a joint project of the OU Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We are on the first wide line towards the bottom. Actually, there's short lines, medium lines, and wide lines. So we are in the medium lines, the first medium line, all the way at the end of that line, about three quarters of the way down the page. And we are quoting the Mishnah, which has a statement. Zeh HaKlal, this is the general principle. Kol sheyesh bo musaf, any day on which there is a musaf sacrifice, and therefore there's also a musaf prayer. The Eino Yom Tov, but it is not a festival day, then you have four aliyot that you read the Torah on. So the Gemara has a question about a particular kind of day that's not mentioned in the Mishnah, Ibai Lahu. I will ask a question of them, of those in the Beit Midrash. Ta'anit Tzibur Bekama, how many aliyot do you read on a fast day? So is it more like Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaShamoed, or is it more like a weekday? So first suggestion the Gemara gives is Rosh Chodesh u'moed de'ika karban musaf. On Rosh Chodesh and a festival, you have a karban musaf. Therefore, you read arba'ah, you read four aliyot. Aval hacha, but in the case here of a fast day, de'leka karban musaf, where there is no karban musaf, lo, then you would not have four aliyot, you'd only have three. Odilma, or maybe hachanami ika musaf tfila. Here too, on a fast day, you don't have musaf, but you do have an extra prayer. In Shmona Esrei, we say that we make an insertion of the prayer Anenu. Perhaps the insertion of Anenu is enough to add in the fourth aliyah. So that's the question in hand. And the Mishnah doesn't specify one way or the other, so we don't know. So if the first thing the Gemara is going to try to do is see if we can deduce from the Mishnah what the answer is. So we say, Tashma, come and learn. Let's read the Mishnah. Barashei Chodeshim on Rosh Chodesh, uvechulo shel moed, and on the intermediate days of the festival, Korin Arba'a, we read four. Now there it doesn't mention a fast day, so Ha Batani Tzibur, Gimel. So maybe on a fast day, we only read three. We can assume that since it's not like Rosh Chodesh and Chol Moed, that we only read three. The Gemara does not accept this. Eima Reisha, because I also have the beginning of the Mishnah. Basheni uvechamishi uveshabbat b'mincha, on Monday and Thursday and on Shabbat mincha, korin shlosha, I read three. But it doesn't mention a fast day, Hatani Tzibur Arba'ah. Maybe I could deduce from there that a Tani Tzibur is four. In other words, I don't know which way to make the deduction, from the Rosh Chodesh direction or from the weekday direction. Ella, so the Gemara concludes, rather, Meha Leka Lemishmamina. You can't figure it out from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah does not have enough information to determine. So we have to try another way of figuring it out. Tashma, so come and learn. De Rav Ikla LeBavel. One time, Rav, who lived in Israel, went to Bavel. We know at least that Rav went to Bavel once in his life, perhaps more times. Betani Tzibur, and he was there on a fast day. Kam Kra B'Sifra, they called him up to read in the Sefer Torah. Patach, he opened up, Brich, and made a blessing before the Torah reading. Chatim, but then at the end, when he closed the Torah, Lo Brich, he did not make a bracha. Okay, so that was surprising. I guess they expected him to make a bracha before and after his Torah reading, and he only did it at the beginning. Nafol kule alma a'anpaihu, afterwards, this seems a little out of order, because we do tachanun before Torah reading, although maybe this is talking about mincha, not sure. In any case, everybody went down on their faces for tachanun. A'anpaihu means on their faces. V'rav lo nafal alape, and Rav did not fall down on his face for tachanun. So Rav did two things that were surprising to the people in Bavel. So let's understand each one. Mechdi, Rav, Mechdi, let's consider. Rav b'Yisrael kara. We're going to assume that Rav had the third aliyah, the Yisrael aliyah, because Rav was a Yisrael. My time, Chatam velo barich. So then why would he not have said a blessing at the end? After all, the third aliyah would be the final aliyah, and therefore he should say the bracha at the end. Right? Lav mishum debay lemikre achrina batrai. Is it not because they needed to have another person reading after him? So if Rav wasn't the last aliyah, it would make perfect sense that he didn't make a bracha afterwards because there was a fourth aliyah. So maybe we can learn from this story that on a fast day you have four aliyahs. Lo, no, the Gemara rejects that. Rav bekahane kra. Rav actually was called up first. He read the Kohen aliyah, even though he wasn't a Kohen. Zaha that we have, that here, Rav Huna kari bekahane. We have a tradition that Rav Huna read the Kohen aliyah, even though he wasn't a Kohen. And the reason he did that is because he was a big Talmud Chacham. So there is a whole discussion in the halacha about whether or not a Kohen should go first or a Talmud Chacham should go first. Certainly best to have a Talmud Chacham who is a Kohen. But they had situations where they had great rabbis, and the Kohanim would, so to speak, be mochel their position, and they would call up the great rabbi for the first aliyah instead, like Rav Huna. So we're saying that Rav would have been the same. The Gemara counters. Bishlama Rav Huna kari b'kahane. It makes sense that Rav Huna read the first aliyah, even though there were kohanim there. Deha afilo Rav Ami v'Rav Asi t'kahane chashive da'ara Yisrael. Even Rav Ami and Rav Asi, who were very chashuv kohanim, meaning they were also talmidei chachamim, da'ara di Yisrael, in the land of Israel, mechaf kaifu leila Rav Huna. They would bow themselves before Rav Huna. Meaning, even though they were also Talmidei Chachamim and they were Kohanim, they would let Rav Huna take the first aliyah, or they would defer to Rav Huna taking the first aliyah because he was such a great scholar. Ela Rav, but Rav is not the same. Ha Ika Shmuel Tekahana Hava Udvar Ale. Rav had Shmuel. Shmuel was a Kohen, and whenever Rav and Shmuel were together, Rav would defer to Shmuel. I don't know exactly what this word udvar means. Rashi suggests that it means he would sit above him, or he was ranked above him. So when Rav and Shmuel were there, Shmuel would take the first aliyah as the Kohen, and Rav would not. So it sounds like Rav was not great enough to automatically be given the first aliyah. So Gemara answers, no, that's not true. Shmuel nami michaf hava kayafle. Shmuel also bowed before Rav. He deferred to Rav, kayafle la Rav. The Rav hu de avad le kavod. It wasn't that Rav wasn't so great. It's just that Rav did special kavod to Shmuel. In other words, Shmuel deferred to Rav, but then Rav offered Shmuel the special kavod of going first. Now, this does not explain why. Rashi mentions cryptically that there was a story which is discussed at great length in Shabbos Kuf Chet Amud Aleph, 108a. The first time that Rav and Shmuel ever met each other, Rav said some unkind things to Shmuel. He actually cursed Shmuel because Shmuel was trying to help him recover from an illness, and he was causing him a lot of pain. And Rav, in his pain, cursed Shmuel, and he felt badly about that curse for the rest of his life, partially because he and Shmuel had a very respectful relationship, and also because even though he didn't mean it, the curse came true in Shmuel, and Rav felt badly that he had said such a terrible thing to his friend so many years. So whenever he had the opportunity, he would defer to him and try to show him extra kavod to make amends. V'chi aved le b'fanav, but he would only defer to him when he was around. They did not live in the same city. Shelo b'fanav lo aved le, but when he was not around, because Shmuel was in Naharda and Rav was not often there, he would not do it. Hachinami, so here too, mistabro de Rav b'kahane kra. It makes sense that Rav took the first aliyah, the Kohen aliyah, the Yisrael kadatach b'Yisrael, because if you were saying that he took the Yisrael aliyah, the third aliyah, kra lefaneha my time of brich. Why would he say a bracha at the beginning? Meaning, in the old Talmudic version, you only said the first guy said a bracha in the beginning, and the last guy said a bracha at the end, but there were no brachos in the middle. So if Rav was the Yisrael, why would he say the bracha in the beginning? So the Gemara has an answer for that. They say, I'm on the last line now. La'achar takana. This was after the takana. In other words, after the takana, everyone says a bracha before they read the Torah and after they read the Torah. But ihachi, if that's so, la'achareha nami livrech. He also should have said a bracha at the end. It still doesn't make sense that he said a bracha only before and not afterwards. If it's after the takana, he should say one before and after. So he says, no, the takana was practiced differently in different places. The Gemara says, some places didn't have the takana in its full amount. So shiny, it was different, hecha diyativ Rav, in Rav's town, de me'ayil aile, that people were allowed to go into the shul during the middle of Torah reading. And now we flip the page to the Amud Bet. Mefak lo nafke, but they were not allowed to leave. If you were in shul, when the Torah reading started, you had to stay until the end. So because that was the case, we know that the reason for blessing before and after was because of nichnasin and yotzin, those who would come in the middle and those who would go out in the middle. But in this particular town, all you had was nichnasin. Since you had nichnasin, you always would make a bracha in the beginning. So therefore, every aliyah made a bracha in the beginning, but you didn't have yotzin. No one went out during shul, so everyone would be there at the end and would hear the final bracha. Therefore, they did not establish a bracha for everyone at the end. They only established that every aliyah had said a bracha beforehand, and the last aliyah said a bracha at the end. So where does this take us? This takes us to a non-conclusion. We are not able yet to conclude whether or not in a Ta'anit Tzibur from this story, whether or not you read 3 or 4, because the final is inconclusive. We can't say for sure whether or not there were 3 or 4 based on the story. So instead, we're going to solve it in another way. So we'll just do a couple more lines to solve it. The conversation will be ongoing. It will continue into our next recording. But this is a solution. Tashma, come and learn. Zehaklal, this is the principle. Now, this principle is going to be slightly different than our Mishnah principle. Here it says, Kol sheyesh bo bitul melacha la'am, any day on which there is a bitul melacha for the people, in other words, people have to get to work, and if you add an extra aliyah, it's going to be a tircha for them. Kegon ta'anit tzibur, like a public fast day, v'tisha b'av and tisha b'av, korin shlosha, you read 3 aliyot only. So the assumption here is that on most fast days, people were able to do malacha. There maybe have been some towns where there was a minhag not to do malacha. We saw that it was dependent. We saw earlier in the Masech that it was dependent on minhag. But most places, people worked on the fast days. And since they worked on the fast days, you didn't want to have a longer Torah reading. They had to get to work. So you would only read 3. V'she'ein bo bitul malacha, on days when there is no bitul malacha, when people don't usually do work, la'am, for the people, kigon Rosh Chodeshim, like Rosh Chodesh v'chulo shel Moed, korin Dalid. Then we would read 4 aliyot. Now, Chol HaMoed, we know, generally speaking, people are not supposed to work. It's still really a festival. You're only supposed to do work for something that's a davar ha'aved. That's something that if you don't do it, it's going to get spoiled or ruined. But generally speaking, the idea was that people would not be working on Chol HaMoed. Rosh Chodesh is a little trickier because most people did work on Rosh Chodesh. Rashi mentions that the people that didn't work on Rosh Chodesh were the women. This is a little surprising because it's not usually going to be the women in shul, so it's not going to be an issue of tircha for women going to work. It would be an issue for the men, and the men mostly worked. However, I guess to show respect to the women and the fact that the women didn't work on that day, then they considered it a day in which there was no bitul malacha, since women would not be doing their work on that day, and therefore they read 4. It's kind of strange, and there's an open question about why it should matter. Shmamina, however, this is a good proof. Shmamina, learn from this. In other words, the final conclusion here is that on a fast day, a Ta'anit Tzibur, we only read 3 aliyot, and that is actually how we practice halacha lemaisa. This conclusion is going to be challenged in our next recording, but we'll take that up in our next year. Have a wonderful day.